All right, thank you for being in your place back tonight, and thank you. We had a wonderful, wonderful Sunday, and appreciate you being faithful and coming back on Sunday night. I want to share a thought with you, a couple things first, by the way. The music was fantastic today. It's good all the time, don't get me wrong. But man, the choir was great, that song, the different songs they sang, the group, and so very, very grateful for that. One thing we're going to do before we get started, this will be our last offering for our bus drivers. We have 12 of them going through, and it's just very vital that we get that. So the ushers will come down, and we will take one more offering. If you can give something, everybody give a little something to help offset that, because it's a huge expense, but it's worth it if these guys are willing to go through all the effort and drive for us each and every week. And so let's pray, and then we'll take offering. It's on Simple Give as well. It just says bus drivers offering. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for loving us. Thank you for all that you've accomplished throughout the years through the bus ministry and just different activities and ministries and so forth. Pray you'd bless this offering tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Right, thank you for that. PA guys, if you could give me a little more monitor here, that would be great. I think that would help me out. Oh, I can already hear you getting better there. I wanna share something tonight I think that'll help us. It's more church related, and I hope you get what I'm trying to say here. As we go through it, I think you'll understand it a little bit more. They say that all good things come to an end, and I guess that's true in a certain sense, businesses and so forth. We looked at that a while ago, but you know, some things that are good don't need to come to an end. In fact, it'd be sad if they actually did. I've been a Christian for a while now, and that can be said of churches as well, and that's what I want to apply this story to tonight. I can look back over the course of my time as a Christian and I've seen churches that have done well, they were doing great things, and things change. When I left to go to Bible college many years ago, the early 80s, I went to go to Bible college. There was a church in this area. None of you would, if I asked you who it was, none of you even know what church it is, because it was a huge church. I mean, they were reaching multitudes for Christ. I'm talking within a 30-35 minute drive of here. I went there one time. They had a special preaching meeting, and they had a couple people in. One of them was Lester Roloff. And they had this huge 2,000-seat auditorium. And they ran upwards of sometimes 5,000 people running buses, reaching people for Christ. It was just incredible. They were doing a great, great job. That church is still in existence, but it only runs a handful now. Something changed, and the church is really just now a shell of what it used to be. And I don't say this to be critical, because others have said it, but you know, we've all heard of Tennessee Temple. When I went off to Bible college, really there's more colleges now and a lot more choices, and I'm thankful for that. More people can be trained, but Tennessee Temple was one of the two, and it was a huge college. They had a church in Chattanooga. Some of you from the South know that, and they had a tremendous, tremendous impact. They ran buses, they ran chapels, and we're reaching thousands and thousands. Just a huge building, huge impact, people being saved. That college is no longer in existence. It's gone. The church changed. They sold all of their properties and changed their name. No longer a Baptist church, and really there's a couple people meeting in a building somewhere. But it's nowhere near what it was and having the impact that it used to have in those days. Now, in those churches, we look at it, and their pastor left, and they got a new pastor. Another one, and none of this is critical, by the way. I'm going to make a point in a minute. There was a church here years ago. We were looking when Pastor Esposito was here. We started Monterey Park. We wanted to start another church. And we were over in the area, and I went for pastor to look at this building. And I met the pastor. Good man. He was much, much, much older. He had come out here many years ago, started the church. I went through the building with him, and the church was phenomenal. He told me the stories of it and what was going on. But over the years, something changed. And when I was there talking with him on that day, the reason we were looking to rent it, I think they had about 12 people coming to church. And I remember as we were walking through, they had two buildings, and he was showing me the different buildings. We go in there, and it's like we used to have a Christian school, and in this room you could see the storage of all the things they used to use for the Christian school, which they no longer used. And it just, something happened to stop, or something happened to that caused the good things that were going on to stop. And whenever I hear things like that, again, this is not critical. That's the way of the world sometimes. But I always think back to here, and I'm thinking, what happened? Because I want God to do things. And I want to make sure that it doesn't stop. And if there's something that caused it, I want to look at it and say, hey, what caused that? Is there something we can do to keep going and not end up down that path? And I think we're going to see a little bit of that this evening from this story. Elisha was a great prophet. Now, he served under Elijah, and Elijah was a great prophet. But you know the story. He asked Elijah, I want a double portion of your spirit. He goes, God used him, and he goes, I would like to have double that. And I won't go through the whole story, but if you look at it, the number of miracles that Elijah did, I believe it was around 7, maybe 6 or 7. And if you count up the ones Elisha did, it's double what Elijah did. He was a great prophet. So he comes, and in this chapter, there's a woman that comes to him with a great prophet. Now, she was a widow of a former prophet. Now, when we look at widowhood, it's always a difficult situation, but in those days, it was a very, very difficult situation. There would be financial hardship, and that's exactly what happened. They were in debt, and the debtors came to collect on the debt. Now, if you could not pay in those times, what they did is they would take your children and sell them off for bondage. Now, there also was the year of Jubilee when they could be released, but they had to pay off that debt somehow. And so what happens, the creditors are coming, and they're, you know, we say that the creditors are knocking at the door. They don't do that now. They call you on the phone, right? Say, how do you know? They're calling me all the time. I never pay my bills, so just kidding there. But they were knocking on the door, and they were ready to take her sons and sell them off to pay off her debt. And so she comes to Elijah, and she tells him the whole story, and he gives her a plan. He says, what do you got in the house? And she goes, really, we don't have anything. We have a little bit of oil. And oil was very important for them in those days. And she goes, we got a little bit of oil. He goes, here's what you do. Go borrow some vessels, some pots. And don't just borrow a couple. Get as many as you can. And bring them back. And they go and they borrow them. They bring them back. He goes, now go into the room, close the door, and take the oil you have and pour it. And just keep pouring it and fill up as many vessels as you can. And remarkably, a miracle, as long as they had the vessels, they keep pouring and they all fill up. And when they ran out of vessels, the oil stops. And Elijah says, now go and sell all that oil, very high commodity item, and take that money, pay off your debt, and then whatever you have left, you can use that to live. I look at that and I'm thinking, man, that must have been exciting. You think about it. They must have been excited as they go and get the vessels. They start filling it up, and this one here that was filling the others was not running out. That must have been very exciting. Imagine how they go and they're selling it and they're making money, probably more money than they thought they probably ever saw. Think of how excited they've been. I would have been excited when they go to the creditors and say, hey, by the way, let me show you something. We're paying off our debt. You think the debtor, they must have known, here's this widow lady, gonna have to sell her son. She got nothing. All of a sudden, here she is paying off all the debt. And then how excited to walk away with the extra, knowing they can pay their bills going forward. I've read this story so many times, and sometimes as a pastor, you read a story like, wow, there's a message in here somewhere, but you just read it and you read it. And finally, as I thought about it, this one phrase really clicked with me. And this is the one I want to look at. Look at verse 6. And it came to pass when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. She's having a great time, like, hey, go get the next one. And he said unto her, there's not a vessel more. Goes, we're out. Then that four-word phrase is what really gets to me. And the oil stayed. What does the word stay? That means it stopped. That oil that was flowing freely, which would pay their debt, which would there's another message there, by the way, which would provide for them into the future. It's done. It's over. It stopped. I wonder if they thought what I thought as I read that. Maybe if they had been just a little, this is how I would have thought about it. Maybe if we had been a little more persistent, right? Maybe if we had got more vessels, we would have more oil to sell. Now, there is a picture there because oil in the Bible is very significant. Oil pictures the anointing. God would anoint someone as a sign of God's consecration and appointment to an office, right? The kings would be anointed. Prophets would be anointed. It was God's way of saying, I have a very special touch on your life. There's something that I have for you to do, and I'm going to empower you to do that. It also is for healing. You think about the guy that was left for half dead. And the Good Samaritan gets him, and what does he do? He takes care of his needs. The Bible says he poured in oil and wine for healing to help him. We think of light. Oil was used for light. Jesus tells us we're the light of the world, and also tells us that in Psalm 119, the Word of God is the light to push us forward and show us and illuminate our way. It's also a sign of provision and abundance. Psalm 133, that's what it's talking about in a sense, when it talks about the oil running down the beard of Aaron. But here's the one I want us to see today. It's a picture of the Holy Spirit and His empowerment in our life to do something for God. Amen. I want us to look at the verse that we've looked at so many times. I won't even have you turn there because I know that you already know it. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. And then it goes into Jerusalem, Samaria, Judea, and the other most part of the world. See, that's what God wants. He wants His Spirit, as a sense like that oil, pouring in our life and giving us the power to go out into this world, to go out into this dark world, to be anointed for a purpose and consecrated, to go get the gospel and reach people for the Lord Jesus Christ. When I see that and I think about God's power, you know what I think? We have the oil in a small sense. And this is not 1 ounce of pride in my life. I'm not thinking of that for our church. But in a sense, as I look at what God's doing, it's like, I think God's pouring His oil a little bit here. You say, are you talking about in you? No, I'm talking about in our church. I'm talking about in you. How many people are coming when you're going out and visiting them? I think I saw someone today. I try to get to Sunday morning. I try to get to the visitors that are coming, and I saw somebody else. There was a couple I met. And how did you hear about us? I think she said three of our youth came by and gave us a track, gave us an invitation. And by the way, that story is repeated over and over and over. I want to see God continue to do good things here. God has done it from the very beginning of our church. We have people who are trusting Christ. Periodically, usually almost every Sunday, not every Sunday, but usually in here and not here, other services, someone's raising their hand like, I want to know who Christ is. Yes. Or people are coming to church who somebody else has talked to about the Lord. We're seeing people baptized pretty much every single week. Our bus ministry is going out and reaching, and our buses are coming in full. The rest homes are such a blessing. The last few Saturdays, I've been spending my time going to some of them and talking to some folks. And I went to one, and he got saved a couple weeks ago, and I had to come back and bring him a Bible. When I brought him into a Bible, I talked to another guy. He was already saved, and he's like, you need to bring me a Bible. He said he asked for one very nicely. And I went there yesterday. I think he went to the service in Norwalk. He said he was going to go up there. And I gave him the Bible, and just how touched he was to get a Bible. And I'm thinking, we're reaching people that nobody else would maybe spend time going to reach or to see. We have mission teams doing great works overseas. We support missionaries and church planters. And I hope when you're here on Thursday that you pay a little attention and see that, because that's your money. That's your investment in their lives. Our Spanish ministry is fantastic. By the way, I don't say it enough. I should say it more. We're very, very grateful to have Brother Campa. If you know anything about churches, it doesn't happen here. Sometimes Spanish ministries cause trouble. You know, we'll just go do our own thing and get out of here. Brother Comp has been fantastic. All the people that have been saved there, our youth and our singles, and you see them singing, you see them involved, and so many of them are in the bus ministry, and so many of them are in the homes. It's just incredible. You see the building filling up each and every week. All of our classes are growing. And I want to say this. You say, what's going on here? Let me just explain it to you. I have no clue. You say, is it something that you're doing? You know, should we have some kind of little conference and tell everybody how to do it? Nope. Now, we try to be organized here. And we try to do things, and we try to cast vision, and we try to think of new things to do. But I come in here, Brother Two, and I look around here, and I see people come, and I'm like, Lord, please, don't let me mess this up. I don't know why you're doing this. I don't know exactly why you're choosing to bless us. I don't know why people are coming to church, but please don't let me mess this thing up. Just keep doing it, okay? And I hope that's your thing, like you come here, not like, hey, it's getting harder on Sunday morning to get a seat. I'm trying to squeeze you out in a good way. You say, what are we going to do? We'll work on that. Don't worry about it. But I hope you see it and say, thank God. How many of you really, when it comes to being attached to a church and going on a regular basis, this is the only church you've really done that with? Come on, raise your hand. So if you're like that, what happens sometimes, you don't realize that this doesn't happen in other churches, in every church. It does happen in other churches, but this is not normal. And I don't know what it is. I'm trying to say is, for some reason, God's oil is coming in, and I don't want to mess it up. I want it to keep going. Amen. Why? So you're a big shot? No. So people are helped. Amen. I love to hear the stories of people and things in their life. So I want to look at two brief things this evening. When we're talking about this, I want to look at, why did the oil stop? Because if I look at this and I'm like, okay, if that's why the oil stopped, then let's not do that. Yeah. Let's just keep it going. I want to look at two sides of the coin, though. First of all, I want to let you know why the oil did not stop. And I will be brief on this. It didn't stop because there was a request. Look at verse 1. And there was a certain woman of the wives of the prophets, of the sons of the prophets. She came unto Elijah saying, she's going to make a request. Why? The whole story starts because a widow came with a request. A request means she was asking for something. That's what people are doing in our world. They're asking for something. They see what's going on. The problem is they just don't know what to do. We have to be smart enough as Christians to realize, just because they drive a nice car, just because they look like they have everything going on, just because they walk by us and it seems like they have everything going on, they don't. People have questions. They look around this world and they see what's happened in the last 4 years, in the last 8 years, the last 10 years, the last 15 years, and it gets worse and worse and worse. And they're like, they're trying to make sense of it. By the way, we can make sense of it for them if we know the word of God. So there's a request. There's a tragedy. Look at verse 1 again. Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. She had a good husband. He was a good man. He was a prophet. He was serving. And now he's dead. There's this tragedy in her life. She lost her husband. She suffered a great loss. Let me just say this. It is very easy for us not to see that in people's lives. It is very easy for us to get a hard heart, right? You know what we do if we're not careful? We see people solely from a political standpoint. Why are the homeless doing the things over here? And I don't think they ought to be able to commit crimes. I'm not saying that. You know, someone shouldn't be able to go into a store and steal under $1,000 and it's okay. Someone might want to email the governor about that. That's a biblical principle. But what happens is we see that kind of stuff and we meet somebody, it's like, oh, they're just a this. No, they're just a person that needs Jesus Christ. They're just somebody that has bad things going on in their life, and they have needs, and we have the answer, and let's not get a hard heart. I, as a pastor, listen, I've heard it all and I've seen it all. And it's very easy for me to sit back and say, that's just what they deserve. But I don't want to do that. Because can I just be honest with you? That's exactly what I deserve. And I don't want that. I want God to give me what I don't deserve. So say, well, Pastor, I'm doing pretty good. Get off your high horse, though.
Yep.
Let's not get proud.
Yep.
By the way, some of you look, you know, today because we're all wearing different gear, but, you know, we come to church and we look so good and we look so nice and everything. You know, we got it all together and everything. I remember when you showed up.
Come on.
You were a jigsaw puzzle and the pieces were nowhere put together.
Come on.
And I'm glad God put you together. But he put us together so we can help other people be put together, not so we can say, look at me. She also came because the oil came because there was a debt. And the creditor has come. You say, Pastor, when a creditor comes, how come that's bad? Well, obviously you've never been in debt.
Yeah, come on.
You'd know, right? She owed. And she could not pay for it. We understand that is so easy to apply. People out there, they owe a debt to God if they're not saved. By the way, if you're not saved, you owe a debt to God.
Come on.
And you can never pay it because I could never pay mine. Yeah. Thank God somebody paid that debt for us.
Right.
But how are they going to know?
Right.
They owe a debt. There was also a threat. The creditor has come to take unto him my two sons. Could you imagine how hard that is? Could have been on that lady. She already lost her husband. And now she's about to lose her two sons. There was a real threat. You know what I've noticed with people? Sometimes when things start to go sideways in their life and the threat of the consequences starts to come in, that's when they think about coming to church.
Come on.
That's when they think about coming to the Lord.
Yep.
And by the way, let's help them.
Yep,
sure. And I don't mean help them by trying to get rid of the problem. I mean helping them get to the root of the problem.
Yeah.
So they can get help. And then lastly, the oil continued to flow because there was a need. When Elijah asked her what she had in her house, yes, she had a little oil, but to be honest with you, she said, thy handmaid hath not anything in her house. She had a little bit of something that was valuable, but it didn't really amount to much. She had nothing of any value. She had a genuine need. Can we look at people in this world? That, by the way, we're going to go into it, but that's why we need the oil. People have a need. They have a need.
Amen.
You have a need. I have a need. We look at people and think, well, they live in a nice house. But what's their home-like life?
Come on.
Well, they're married. But how's that relationship?
Come on.
Well, they have children. But do they have a real family?
Yep.
They have a nice car. Are they going anywhere? They have a Ford, they're not. They have lots of money. But do they have anything of any value?
Come on. Yep.
See,
come on.
Let's quit looking at the outward trappings and see the real need. And by the way, if you're around them long enough, you'll see the need. We'll have people come in and they'll visit, and you go visit their house and they're a lovely couple and a family. It's like, wow, that's a great, I'm glad they came. Let's go by their house. And boy, let's see if we can, they'd fit in our church. And then we go to their house and it's like, wait a minute, it is nothing like where they were when they came into church, man. It's like they've got problem after problem like a lot of us have had in our lives.
Come on.
Isn't that why we're here?
Yeah.
The oil needs to flow for their sake. But let me just briefly share a few thoughts. Why the oil did stop. And if it's true that people have needs, can we just maybe look in our hearts and say, Lord, I don't want the oil to stop. I'm glad if God's working in your family's heart and in their lives. But let's not get so content with that that we don't want to see God work in other people's lives. So why did the oil stop? Well, first of all, it stopped because of a lack of vessels. That's really simple. Look at verse 3. Then he said, go, borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors. Verse 5. So she went from him and shut the door upon him and upon her sons who brought the vessels, and she poured out. This is a simple equation here. The amount of oil that flowed was limited to the number of vessels to pour into. They had 5 vessels, then they got 5 full vessels. If they had 10 vessels, they had, 10 full vessels. You can do the math. They had 100 vessels, they had 100 full. They were only limited by the amount of vessels that they had. Now, I'm going to say this, and please, it's not unspiritual. Listen to what I'm going to say and deal with it. Not deal with it, understand it. When it comes to helping people, in a sense, God is only limited by the amount of vessels that he has.
Yep.
That's it. See, if we understand that it's not our work, if we understand that it's not us that bring results, we are just the vessel God uses to get his power to this world, then, by the way, that's what God has chosen to do. God has chosen to use people to reach people. Read the gospel in Romans chapter 10, where it talks about the gospel, and he talks about calling on the name of the Lord and how to get saved. And he says, basically, how shall they hear unless someone goes? He said in the Great Commission, go ye into all the world. God uses people to reach people. And if that's true, then the amount of people that can be reached is only limited by the amount of people that will go. It's a vessel problem. It's not an oil problem. The oil is there. God just wants to know, who can I pour it into? We need vessels. By the way, I will say this. One reason I think God is doing something here, and again, I hope you understand, I'm not saying it in any kind of proud way, and I'm just trying to get out of the way, and I don't want to mess it up. Because we have people that are willing to do something.
Right. Amen.
How can we have bus routes? We have captains. We have workers. How do we, and we have drivers, amen? We're getting more. How do we teach Sunday school to all these different age groups? Because we have teachers. How do we do anything around here? Because we have people that will do it. God needs vessels that say, look, I'm a vessel, God. What do you want me to do? I'm in. Give me your oil. Let me do something for you to be a vessel. How much more, and our church does a lot, can we do to make a difference using God's power? We need more of God's people. This church, what we can do is only limited by the amount of people that will do it.
Come on.
And one of the things is, we're doing great because we have a lot of people, but we can do more if we have more people.
Yep.
And by the way, I'm not just sitting still here. I have a list of ministries I want to start. I'm mentioning, you say, quit mentioning. I want you to get it. We want Vietnamese ministry. We want a Korean ministry. We want that missions ministry. By the way, I went out to dinner with Brother Treber before the thing. He says they started a Brazilian ministry. I'm like, Portuguese. I know that. The DaCostas helped me with that one. I'm like, seriously? He goes, yeah, we got 16 of them. They were in the area. They were there. It's like, well, let's start something for them. That's how it is. But you know why he could start something for them? Because there was someone that says, I'll be the vessel and I'll do that. I'll do that. Why are we in 10 of the rest homes? You know why? Because we have people that'll go and teach there and take a Saturday and be involved.
Amen.
We need vessels. The more who are sharing the gospel, the more who could be saved. The more who are serving in ministry, the more who could be served. It's just a matter of numbers. Now, we have to have God's power, and we'll talk about what stops that in a minute. But the more who make themselves available, the more that is doable. The more who will give, the more that will be gained. If every person that believes that this is their church says, this is my church, I'm going to be a member, I'm in, I'm digging in, I'm here, I'm all behind it, the next step is, now what do you want me to do? Where can I be a vessel for God to pour his oil? Also, a lack of space. a lack of vessels, but also a lack of space. Verse 3 says these three little words there, even empty vessels. I'm not trying to read into it, but if you went over there and said, yeah, I got four vessels, they're filled with dirt. All right, I'll take them. And you brought them over there, you're not going to get any oil in the dirt. These vessels needed to be empty. God doesn't need any vessel. God needs empty vessels. God cannot, listen, pour himself into somebody who is full of something else. Just read through the New Testament. You see about emptying yourself. By the way, isn't that what Jesus did? Philippians chapter 2, he emptied himself. He said, I could do this, but I'm setting that to the side. Some people, God would have a hard time using us because we're full of the world. Right? It's just, and I get it. We all have to fight it. But if we allow that to seep in, let me just say this. Oil and the world would not mix together. Some of us, we're full of ourselves. It's all about us. Our whole life is about, what about me, 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 me? When a person comes to church and they're new, a lot of times they need help, and it's about them, and we need to help them. We should. But what happens then is after they start to get put together and God works in their life, now God says, now empty yourself so you can go out and do something for me. He wants to pour his oil. Some of us are full of pride. Well, I'm always right. Something happens, we got to go get in someone's face. Sometimes we need to just let it go. We're full of ambition. Some of you young people, you have your own plans. I know. Some of you young people, God wants to do something in your life. God wants to use you in a great way, but he can't because you got your own ambitions. I'm going to go do this. And by the way, if that's what God wants you to do, great. But a lot of times, you're not even sure of it because you're not even allowing God. You've kind of just shut him out. Yeah, you're a vessel, but you put a lid on that thing because you got what you want to do. I don't want to be full of oil. I'd rather be full of something different. Some of us, we're just full of busyness. We're so busy, we can't even find time to allow God to pour his oil. Some of us, and this is the bad part of it, we're full of sin. You know? And by the way, all of these things, now some of them are outwardly, but a lot of these things, you notice how they're inward things? They're things that maybe other people don't see, but we know about ourselves. The more you have of God in your life, the more you will want to be used by him. I hope that's your desire. And I think we have a good group. Also, another thing that stops the oil is a lack of liability. Those four words, he told them, borrow not a few. Can you imagine somebody that invested in a good stock in the early days? Yep. Imagine if you could go back and invest in Tesla. Say, man, I bought 100 shares of Tesla 15 years ago. You know what you're thinking right now? I wish I would have got 200, right? Or Bitcoin. I don't even know if that's still doing well. It's worth like what, $40,000, $60,000. You hear the story of the early days, some guy bought a pizza, he ordered a pizza, and he didn't have the money, and he gave the kid like 60 bitcoins. I hope that pizza was good, okay? but value, we get as much as you can. A lack of liability. In other words, there was a command that if followed would increase the amount of oil that flowed. The problem is sometimes we don't do this because we don't see it as our responsibility. Go get some vessels and get as many as you can. Well, you know what? Let someone else take care of that. I don't want to have to be the one to do that. Let's stick with our responsibility to do the things we're supposed to do. Yeah. Do you know sharing the gospel is not an option? It's our responsibility. Yeah. And Jesus said, go and lo, I am with you always. Says, you want me to be with you? You really want to feel my presence? Get out there and share the gospel. By the way, let me just say this. I can tell you where our church will be going in the future with these things by looking at how many people go soul winning. How many, and by the way, we have good amount. I'm not griping here. Well, kind of, if you're not. But how many people do we have out on Saturdays? How many people, when we do Tuesday nights, are here on Tuesdays? That tells you that people are saying, I'm here, I'm a vessel, the world needs the message, I'm here to go, let's get after it. Never get so comfortable you just want to share being a part. Look, I don't want to be a part of what's going. I don't want to be, a part of it is the wrong word. I just don't want to be present when something is going on. I want to be a part of it. Yep. See the difference? Yep. Sit here and we see everything that's going on. We're all excited about it. What are you doing? What's your place? Where are you at? God has the oil. But you have to see it as your responsibility. May we never be content with just being a part of the church. May we see our responsibility to move past the walls of the church into our community. Grab some tracks. Just be available. Do what needs to be done. I don't want to be content with just being at church. I want to be here and I want to be a blessing to others. Amen. By the way, one of the things I hear from people all the time, your church is friendly. When they come and visit, we have visitors who say, you know what? I felt welcome. People talk to me. People made me feel welcome. God can use you even in that capacity just when you're here in a service. And thank you for doing that. How do you do that, Pastor? I knew you were going to ask. Greet them. Park off site. Okay, that was in the notes. I'm sorry. You say, Pastor, is that a big thing? I'm going to be honest with you. It kind of is. Because visitors shouldn't have to be the ones looking for a parking spot. And so let's be, and I get it. I mean, I wish some of the pastors that come and preach here, I really get bitter. We got 10 acres. I'm like, well, we would have 10 acres if you took what we had times six. I mean, we have this building and we have like, we have enough parking for everybody. It's like, go home. I don't want to hear that, okay? It's like some guy just told one of the pastors here, yeah, someone just gave us 10 additional acres. Like, where would you even find that here? We used to look at building a parking structure, and then we saw the cost, and we're like, no, we'll buy a shuttle. That's much cheaper. But I'm just saying, all of this is a mindset. You see somebody walking around the church, and they're like, they're new. Okay. Walk up. Hey, are you new here? Hey, let me help you. How'd you hear about us? Oh, I know what class they're in. Let me take you to that class. Or, oh, you have children? Let me show. Be helpful. You think that's that's like, oh, come on, Pastor, that's a small thing. In a church setting, that's a big thing. Yeah. They're like, I don't want to go to the wrong place. You know, many of them, it's not like going to an event like it's church. There's a spiritual dynamic. I don't want to mess. You know, am I going to do something weird? Like, I got this. Let me walk you. Let me help you. It's a big deal. Also, another thing that stops oil is a lack of urgency. A lack of urgency. And when they aren't come in, he says in verse 4, thou shut the door upon thee, upon thy sons, and pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set them aside. All those vessels. You know how many vessels they got? The ones that they were urgent to get. There ought to be an urgency in everything we do. I will be content with our church, what we're doing, when the whole city is coming. Say, is that ever going to happen? No. So you're never going to be content? No. Because there's more people that need the gospel. There's more people that would love to have what God wants to give to them. And it's our job to get out there. We have to be urgent. It is true. We are in the end days. Now, I hope we have many, 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 many years left. And I think we'll have some years left. And hopefully in these last years, God gives us a harvest. That's what I think we're seeing, right? People aren't hard. You know, you quit listening to political stuff that tells you, oh, there's all this division. People are open. People are like, hey, I'll take an invitation. You know, they're not yelling at you. You may get the rare person that has some problem, but let's not lose that urgency. I don't want to be content. I've mentioned it all. The wheelchair folks are coming on Sunday morning. There was just a handful. I'm like, take over the back wall. They are now. They are. I don't know what else. If they want to ride the elevator, I guess they could take the back wall and the balcony. I don't know. Okay? But urgency. Pastor, what if we get too full? We'll figure something out. Well, what if the buses are full? We'll buy more. We'll find a way. Because God will pour more oil. See, God won't give us more than we can handle. And if God's given us more than we can handle, he'll give us a handle to handle more. And I don't know if that makes sense. I don't even know if that's good English. But anyhow. Don't lose the urgency. And then lastly, I think when the oil stops, it's because there's a lack of vision, right? Mom is like, hey, go get me another one. It's like, no, no more. What, no more? Nope. Oh, oil is shut. Just because things are going good now, I'll tell you what will kill our church. We lose our vision. Well, you know, Pastor, you know, there's enough room here. The seats are comfortable. By the way, the best thing I love about the about the building is the air conditioning. Come on now. Because I remember the old building. We had to have the people outside and open the windows so they can see, and we would crank those little air conditioners, and it was okay until you opened the windows. Yep. And then the longer the service went, the hotter it got. And I'm like, oh. Now we can just adjust it anytime we want. But it's not about comfort, okay? Vision. We didn't build this so we have better air conditioning, but I did make sure we did have good air conditioning. We didn't build this so that we have nice screens, although we have nice screens. We built this because it's a tool to reach more people. And when we lose that vision, we're done. Well, we have a gym now, so let's just switch to everybody enjoying the gym. Good, we're going to enjoy the gym, but we're going to use it to reach people too. We've got all this and all these different rooms, and now my Sunday school class will fit in there. I hope it's only temporary. I hope you outgrow that thing. What's the point? I have no clue. The point is this, I don't want the oil to stop. I want God to continue to do things, and not just continue to do things, to do more than we can even imagine, but we've got to want it. We've got to be available and say, God, I'll be a part of it. What do you want me to do? Remember, he has the power. He has the oil. He's the one that pours it. He just needs someone to say, bring it on. And we can always use more. Maybe some of you've been used in the past, and maybe you've backed off a little bit. Start emptying yourselves. Let's do great things for God in this time we have left. You know, we're going to have time to get content and talk about all this, and you know what it is? When we get to heaven. But until then, and I'm not trying to make you work 100 because we don't. It's just very simple. God, just, I want you to use me. Is that the desire of your heart? I want the oil to keep flowing. I don't want them to look at this church in 5 years and it's as dead as Julius Caesar. And they're like, what happened? And it's like, I don't know, but the oil stopped flowing. It doesn't have to. Let's bow our head and close our eyes for a minute, if we may. Every head bowed and every eye closed just for a minute. I hope this doesn't come across as we're doing great, you're not doing enough. That's not what we're talking about. Because the power is not ours. The power is God's. We need to be available. The smallest little things we do sometimes that we think, you know, that's not going to accomplish anything. You know, with God, it can accomplish great things. You'll never know. Why don't we just allow God to use us? Why don't you covenant with me to pray and to tell God, like, God, I don't want to do anything that would stop the oil from flowing, God. I don't want to be just, what do you want me to do? How can I do it? May we stand together this evening. The piano is going to play. Why don't you come to this altar and say, Lord, keep the oil coming. Lord, let's keep making an impact in this city. Let the politicians whine about everything that's going on, but we have the real answer in people's lives. It's Jesus Christ. Don't let the oil stop. There are people out there like that lady and her sons. They need it. They need it. I'm sure she's thankful there wasn't Elijah there. Elisha.